Wow, it's really dead in this Friday. There's like nobody here in the office. Man, I think I'm just going to look around here and see who's here. Look over the cubes.
Is there anyone else here? Hello?
I'm here. Hello?
Ah, you are here. Someone else is here. It's a kind of awkward feeling like you're the face of the whole organization.
Yeah. If you have someone for backup, it's a little more comfortable.
Yeah, or even someone to pull equally on the load, like a band with more than one lead vocalist.
You mean like the Beatles?
Yeah, or the Monkees.
Or the Eagles.
Oh, no. You did it.
Yeah, you know what that means.
Yeah, once you check the Eagles into the conversation,
you can never leave.
Hi there, this is BJ Bonin.
And I'm Laura Palman.
And this is Rockin' the Suburbs. Jim and Patrick are on a secret mission this week, and so we're guest hosting. And we are going to talk today about bands with more than one lead vocalist. Specifically, we're going to look at bands with more than two lead vocalists.
Because there's more of them than you'd think.
A lot more. So the first one that comes to mind, of course, well, first of all, Laura, would you like to explain how we know each other?
Well, we've been friends since we were 6 years old, where we met because we wanted to play Land of the Lost on the playground at Catholic school. And so thus began our friendship. We played Land of the Lost in Star Wars, and then I moved away to the city, and BJ came back into my life because he played the King in The King and I to my Anna. And I walked in one day for rehearsal, and there was my old friend BJ. It was amazing.
That was amazing. The other thing that was amazing is I would consider you the first music buddy that I ever had.
Yeah, I think that you and I definitely had our own music tastes, and they merged together instead of us. You know, the other typical things when you're that young and you just go, listen to this record that I have. We, like, already both knew some stuff.
Which is really kind of weird for a bunch of six-year-olds. But I remember going to your house in particular and enjoying it probably much more than a six-year-old would normally do, because you had...
Well, I was obsessed. I was obsessed with the Monkees,
which is the first band that we're going to bring up for a band with more than one lead vocalist.
Yes, it's very timely considering the loss of poor Peter Tork.
Yes.
May he rest in peace.
Rest in power, Peter.
So not only was I obsessed with the Monkees, I had two Monkees records and a greatest hits album. And I believe that I remember that we also had a litter of five kittens at the time that you came over. So we played the Monkees on the stereo, and then we acted the Monkees.
With the hairbrushes.
With the hairbrushes. And then we named the litter of kittens after the Monkees. And even though there are only four Monkees, all four of them lead singers in their own rights, we named the fifth kitten after the commercials. We named it Sponsor.
Oh, what a bunch of weird kids we were.
Yep, we were a little too too even for six. I'm gonna buy me a dog.
A dog? Why?
Cause I need a friend now.
Babe, you need all the friends you can get, I'm telling you.
I'm gonna buy me a dog. My girl no love, no how. So, my dad got really excited when I started to get really into the Monkees, because he said, oh, then you're going to love the Beatles. But my dad only had psychedelic Beatles albums. So he runs down with Sgt. Pepper and Magical Mystery Tour. And I was like, these aren't anything like the Monkees records I have. But when I went over to your house for the weekend, we listened to Let It Be the whole time, which, you know, is not non-psychedelic, but A little more blues-based, I think.
It's a lot different. And that's the second band we're going to bring up here for multiple lead vocalist episode, is the Beatles. All four of them sang, too.
Yes, you might not remember, or some people may prefer to think of Ringo as a lead singer, but he was a good singer in his own right. You can't deny it.
And a good writer, too, because you can't argue that It Don't Come Easy isn't a great song.
Correct.
So that's two bands, but you know, there's a third band in there with four lead vocalists. We're not going to play any of the Beatles because that's too obvious, right? But although we could, if you really want to, you could go and listen to Sgt. Pepper followed by A Little Help with My Friends. I think you get all four of them in there.
I believe you're right.
Between the Beatles and the Monkees, there's a third band with four lead vocalists that are related to one of them. And that would be Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young.
And, of course, the connection is Peter Tork was only in the Monkees because Stephen Stills failed so miserably at his audition that they said, you know, you're not what we're looking for, but is there someone just like you with better teeth and better hair? And he gave them Peter's name.
And apparently had to do a sales job to get Peter to show up to actually audition. But that is the third band with four lead vocalists, and that is Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young. And then if you take away Neil Young, that would leave Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
One morning I woke up and I knew it all. A new day, a new way, and new eyes were still all.
Now, one thing that Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young have in common with the Beatles is that all four wrote songs, which is different than the Monkees. So there's a connection between all of those. Now, I think songwriting by itself is a totally different episode. Wouldn't you agree, Laura?
I agree. I think that we should focus on the band aspect of lead singers because we don't even want to get into the fabulous Motown history where there are all these singing groups that are based on being vocal bands. We're not going to go there. That could be 7 hours, a whole week of episodes that we'll gladly give you the rights to if you're interested.
Yeah, that's right, Jim and Patrick. There's a whole week of episodes right there. That and Motown as well. R&B, Motown. We're not going to cover that here because that's another whole series of fantastic vocal performances by multiple vocalists in the band. Yeah. And then there's also some country bands here that we won't get into either just because it's rock in the suburbs.
Rock in the suburbs, yes. And so, you know, there's no question that the Temptations can probably kick the Beatles' ass, so we don't need to hear about that.
Now, both the Monkees and Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young were formed in California. And that brings up another band with four lead vocalists who are from California.
The Bangles?
That's the ones.
See, we're not sexist. We're equal opportunity fans.
The Bangles have four songwriters, and they generally shared lead vocal duties for the most of their existence. Everyone thinks of them as a Susanna Hoffs vehicle.
Which, I mean, a great lead singer, of course. And I always did admire the fact that she did her best to always have a guitar in her hands in all the videos because she certainly performed with the guitar in her hands.
And she's a competent 12-string player.
Know that Susanna Hoffs wrote a bunch of the awesome pop songs for Josie and the Pussycat soundtrack with Matthew Sweet.
And they also performed as Ming-T.
Oh, that's right.
On the Austin Powers movies. with who knows who else. Mike Myers, I suppose.
Yeah, I suppose.
Does that count as a band with multiple lead vocalists? Maybe.
I think that's more of like the hip-hop scenario where you have a guest vocal in an otherwise rap track.
Okay, I'll buy that. But Mike Myers was in that band with at least one of the members of the Bangles, and that brings us, Mike Myers is Canadian, and that brings us up to the next band with four lead vocalists, and that is Sloan.
A band that I know almost nothing about other than they're really good.
Yeah, Sloan is a Canadian band. They're out of, I believe, Halifax, Nova Scotia, which is a musical mecca of sorts. And that band has been around for at least 20 years, and they have four lead vocalists and four writers, and if you're not familiar with them, check this out. So, okay, that should be the
pop powerhouse.
Pop powerhouse. Considered like the fourth best band in Canadian rock history.
Yeah, so, you could say they're the best band that you maybe have never heard of.
So, I've mentioned them before on my Best of 2019 is a fantastic live show. They certainly don't have a shortage of material. And their characters are really nice. Okay, we've got all these bands now with four lead vocalists, and that's something I want to bring up is how difficult that is to actually be in a band with, to share lead vocal duties, which is usually your band, the front person is the lead vocalist.
Well, and you'd think that that's the person with the biggest ego because it takes a certain amount of stuff to get in front and sing.
Not just sing.
Well, correct.
And yeah, and it really does. To be in a band where you have four lead vocalists, or even you have to share the vocal duties even with one other person, is really a dynamic relationship within the band. I mean, think of Dinosaur Jr., for example. That's one where they wanted to kill each other because they were, you know, that's a lot of that is songwriting, of course, but that just gives you an idea. A lot of these, the bands that we're going to mention here, they share writing duties.
And on that note, you know, it's been said and was sort of covered in his book that just came out this year. The thing that really turned the key on Uncle Tupelo's breakup was when Jeff Tweedy's song "The Long Cut" was chosen to be on David Letterman rather than one of Jay's songs. As Jeff started to blossom as a songwriter, Jay really started to lose his patience with what might have been Jeff's other, you know, weak points.
Yeah, and in Bob Mould's book, he says the same thing about the fallout with Grant Hart being related to excluding 2421 on one of the Husker Du records. I forget which. Was it Flip Your Wig?
Yeah, that makes the most sense. I feel like the EP came out between Flip Your Wig and Candy Apple Gray.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, that actually does make sense. Bob offers a sort of mea culpa in his book that was a big mistake, and that might be Grant's best writing. Although I would say it's fantastic, I still think there's some better ones in there. But we're not covering Grant Hart today, right?
No, we can't possibly.
I'll try not to go off on that tangent. So, but yeah, the act of getting in front of, you know, being the front person, it does require a lot of ego. And the bands that have stood the test of time with all these lead vocalists, or for that matter, still remain on speaking terms, really says something about the personalities involved, that there's a special relationship there.
Yeah, in my imagination, they're just perfectly supportive. And as soon as one person's sick of singing, the next person is ready to sing. And so it's all harmonious. It's not built on set lists or anything concrete like that.
Yeah, it's just it also has the advantage of you're a lot less likely to cancel because of a illness to the lead vocalist, which brings up the next one, who are also Canadian, by and large, the New Pornographers. There's a live show out there on NPR where Nico Case was on tour being Nico Case, and Catherine Calder ended up being sick and couldn't make the show. So it was just Carl Newman singing all of the songs. And it's kind of awkward. And the band even brings that up in interviews as their most awkward show.
I would imagine that going to a New Pornographers gig, you'd expect to hear some female vocals, but...
But at the same time, the show went on because they didn't have to cancel it because... I'm looking at you, Morrissey. Was that out of bounds?
No, it was so awesome.
Oh, boy. Pass the steak, please. The New Pornographers have four lead vocalists. Not all of them tour with each other at the same time. You're pretty much guaranteed to see Catherine Calder and Carl Newman share the vocal duties when you see them live, and a good part of the time Dan Bihar will be there, and Nico Case is still showing up to play shows with them too, and that's four outstanding lead vocalists, each with a different style, which is even more impressive.
Ideal, especially if it can fit into the same musical genre.
Yes, and even though Catherine does sing Nico's songs when she's not there, they definitely have different voices and have their own style, which is, I just love that band. So
I need to listen to more of the New Pornographers. I'm a little ashamed that I like Nico Case as much as I do, and I haven't naturally gone down that road.
Well, let's listen to this.
You can imagine, all the factions that form around her ticket attractions. High on the spirit, hopped up in mystic, after the fame, baptism your feelings. You know the science of falling, you got the calling. You know the song of Magna Carta, it's underwater.
Another one that's on the list, who just put an album out a couple years ago, Nico Case, Katie Lang, Laura Beers, the Case Lang Beers record that came out there. They're all three of them are songwriters. All three of them front their own bands. And Laura, did you get to see them when they came through town?
I didn't, but it's so striking because it's like a modern version of Trio, which of course is the classic Emmylou Harris, Dolly Parton, and Linda Ronstadt supergroup. Amazing.
Would this go in as, with Crosby, Stills, and Nash as a supergroup thing? And next thing you know, we'll be talking about, like, Asia or something?
Let's not talk about Asia.
Okay, let's not go there. All right. But, sidebar, did you know that Peter Tork went to Carleton College here in Minnesota?
Why, didn't your lovely wife, Carissa, also go to Carleton College in Minnesota?
She did, and she was Laura Veer's TA at Carleton College.
That's pretty hipster.
That's weird. I asked Laura Veers that last year, and she didn't remember, which is expected.
Her loss.
It was 20-some years ago. Anyway, let's see. We made a list here of bands with the help of the Facebook page. We're going to mention some of them. We could go, because we have so much time in our hands here, we can go with Styx.
Sure. Why not talk about Styx? Yeah. Why wouldn't Styx be on the list?
That's true. The cover sometimes makes the book.
Well, sometimes I feel like they win because they have twins.
Yeah, they did, didn't they?
Maybe they're not twins. Maybe they're just brothers.
I don't think they sang, though.
No, but if you're talking about brothers, it's a perfect segue into, of course, a band where everyone could sing, the Beach Boys.
There you go. I got another one, too. We can cover that one afterwards. That'd be the Bee Gees.
Of course. The interesting thing about the Beach Boys, among many interesting things, of course, is that the chief creative force was the least likely to sing anything.
Isn't that
Brian
weird?
Wilson. I do think it's crazy, and I often thought that Carl was the voice of Brian, which is funny because Carl's such a happy personality. I mean, Dennis at least was tortured and a drummer. You'd think he might have put the voice to Brian's lyrics the best, but honestly, it could be argued that Mike Love was really the best, happiest voice of Brian Wilson's Dorment.
They're so good.
They're so good.
Such a influential band. I mean, every indie band that has backup vocals nowadays owes at least a little nod to the Beach Boys.
Well, not to mention the amount of influence the Beach Boys had on the band at the head of this list, the Beatles. Of course, it was amazing. I feel like so much of music as we know it, especially the kind of pop music we're mostly dabbling in here, wouldn't exist without the Beach Boys. Like, they influenced Phil Spector as much as Phil Spector influenced them. It's crazy.
Exactly.
And speaking of harmonies, I feel like the other band of brothers we need to talk about is, of course, who you just mentioned, the Bee Gees.
Yeah, I thought you were going there with that one to begin with.
Well, it would be natural, being that that was the first real big arena show I ever saw. My dad bought tickets from a scalper to see them at the St. Paul Civic Center, and I believe it was 1979. It's pretty exciting.
That would be pretty exciting.
You couldn't see the stage unless you had binoculars, but it was pretty amazing.
Next one on the list, Fleetwood Mac.
Ah, a whole nother kind of band. It's a real new era of living when we get to the Fleetwood Mac, of course.
It's another caveat here, because they technically have four lead vocalists, but Peter Green was never in the band with Stevie Nicks and Lindsey Buckingham, so only three of them appeared at one time.
Yeah, that's kind of the technicality that keeps, like, Genesis off our list, because I'm pretty sure that Phil Collins wasn't a lead singer at any time that Peter Gabriel was the lead singer.
And probably for good reason.
Yeah.
What else is on there? Broken Social Scene.
Another indie band I can't really speak about.
They're Canadian. I like Canadian bands.
That's fair.
But that also falls into the category of multiple guest vocalists coming in and out. So there's a bunch of stuff there that every one of them basically has another.
First album, Surrealistic Pillow, is one of my very favorite albums since high school.
I like Volunteers.
Yeah, Volunteers is really good. Anything with Marty, I'm a fan of.
Until you get to Starship, in which case we'll pretend it doesn't exist.
Well, Marty wasn't there anymore.
That's true. But oh man, there's some good songs there. Next down the list, let's get a little heavier and a little bit more glammy.
You wanted the best. We got you the best.
Kiss.
That's not the right intro. Sorry, Gene.
Oh. Oh, boy. Yep, Kiss is there on the... that's on the list.
A band so eager to prove that they had multiple vocalists that each band member recorded a solo album.
That's true. I forgot about that. Maybe I repressed that.
Do you know which one of the albums sold the best of all those albums?
No, I don't.
It was Peter Criss's album, because of Beth being the breakaway hit single, of course.
Oh, I guess I wasn't aware of that.
I never liked Kiss growing up until I heard the Replacements cover Kiss, and then I went, oh, okay.
I agree with you there. We were of that age when they were out there, and I agree that until I heard people cover some of the songs, I was like, whoa. Then it was like, these guys are pretty damn good.
Oh, my God, and my hillbilly cousins were just ramming them down my throat. And I was like, no, I understand why, God forgive me, Ted Nugent's good. but you cannot convince me Kiss is good, because I could not, as an 8-year-old, understand that at all. Even with the makeup and the cartooniness, I just, no.
But Detroit Rock City is a really good thing.
Oh, God, yes, of course. In retrospect, I couldn't have been wronger.
To continue with something a little bit more modern, Baba Ganoush out of Australia. That's Hatchy, if you know Hatchy, who's making the shoegaze rounds nowadays. She's not that old, but that's one of her old bands. Baba Ganoush, what's the other one? Go Violets. And each one of those bands has multiple lead vocalists, and they're really good. With young Australian bands, Major Leagues has three lead vocalists.
Major Leagues, a band from the far past, of course, Grateful Dead. I always only liked the songs that Jerry sang for the longest time, because I didn't really like the Grateful Dead at all.
There's a lot there to listen to, that's for sure.
Yeah.
All right, so we're getting long here, a little long in the tooth. We got a whole bunch of bands here with two lead vocalists, you know, The Who, REM, X.
I mean, we need to bring up the fact that Velvet Underground is on the three lead vocalist list. Because, I mean, you can't not talk about a band like the Velvet Underground. I would say that they're maybe even with the Beach Boys for like being the most massively influential people, at least on the list of three lead singers.
Shiny, shiny, shiny boots of leather, whiplash, girl child in the dark. Comes
with that one. That's,
I mean, we could talk about the Velvet Underground for a whole segment, I'm sure.
Absolutely.
I mean, you and I could talk about Trip Shakespeare for a whole hour,
that's
I'm sure.
That's true, and I bet you nobody else in the show knows who they are. Let's see.
We should play Pants. Here.
Can I tell you a romantic story about the guess the king decreed that all the various princes should try to get inside her pants. So along came a saint called Dandy. He was 6½ feet tall.
There's a whole bunch there with two, and we'll leave that there for you all to figure out.
Yeah, it's notable that one of those bands is the Kinks, because some people can't tell the difference between when Ray and Dave are singing.
I honestly can't.
I can't usually on a recording, but live I think it's markedly different. I had the pleasure of getting to see Dave Davies, as he pronounced it, live at the Medina Ballroom last spring, and it was amazing.
Wow. So then there's one that we're, well, first of all, Laura, as a further introduction before we go, there are a lot of people that love the Replacements on this particular podcast. So,
the Replacements.
I know. The tell your replacement story, the one that you're most notorious for.
Well, I went to an all-girls high school where the Replacements played a show at. I was grounded, so I did not get to go. But because we live in Minneapolis, we used to go to what was then Orfolk Records, and every Wednesday night, actually every night, Bob Stinson would go to Orfolk, look at records, and then when they closed, he would walk down the train tracks like it was his ritual. So so we became kind of familiar with Bob. He was never, by the way, wearing a dress. So the night that they played an all-ages show after Tim had come out, I dared one of my friends, or my friend, I forced my friend to dare me. I said, should I ask Bob Stinson to my prom? Bob and I said, hi, do you remember me? And he said, yeah, of course, hi. Wondering if you wanted to maybe go to my prom with me next month. And he said, oh, yeah, I will, unless we're on tour. And of course, they were on tour. Not only were they on tour, but he got married like 2 weeks prior to the prom in the same hall that the prom was at. So it was okay because I wasn't like in love with him. But it has been a story that's really bought me at least a few drinks in the past 40 years.
I was at that prom.
You were at that prom.
I know. It was funny. That would have been awesome.
Oh, my God. Yeah, they played songs off of Tim at the prom.
They sure did. Anyway, so that brings up our closing band here from Athens, Georgia. We give you
R.E.M.
Actually, no, it's a B-52.
We're not even going to hassle with the twos. Sorry.
Yeah, they've only got two. Sorry, Milsey.
It's the perfect segue to go from, you know, the Replacements to REM or the DBs for that matter. But we don't have to go there.
And so we're going to close out. So, you know, rock in the suburbs. Remember to listen every day and call... Call the phone line, which I don't remember where it is.
The number is 612-440-1984.
So we'll figure out the details there. The this is BJ.
And this is Laura.
And
keep rocking the suburbs.
Keep rocking the suburbs. Dan, 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 dan. Actually, it's not going to
be. Also, a band with multiple lead singers.
The Suburbs. The Suburbs is another band with multiple lead singers, and one of them's named Paige.